Velkommen til Radio Shalom. Dagens program indeholder følgende. Joanna Sawyer bringer optagelse fra pressemøde om udstilling på Louisiana, Pussy Riot, samt hendes indtryk af udstillingen. Derefter taler jeg med Else Stenfeldt og Ellen Christiansen, som har udstillet deres malerier på Kedelhallen på Frederiksberg. Udstillingen kan ses indtil den 7.11.23. Velkommen til Shalom. Mit navn er Abraham Copenhagen.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Louisiana Museum. We are doing this press conference in English. We have a lot of people from abroad, and as a natural service to them, we do it in English. The Louisiana Museum is a museum of modern art. It's a museum of contemporary art, but it's also a museum of contemporary culture. The notion of the contemporary, the notion of the now, permeates everything we do. Even when we show historical shows, we try to relate them to lives that people are living. We are by no means an archaeological institution. You may think that the Pussy Riot show is an exception because it's highly political and the form that it has. It's an extraordinary show, but it's not an exception. There's a long, fine line of continuity in this house coming from the 1980s, where we have dealt with political issues, early 80s with the Danish peace movement, later on with human rights panels, discussions, big meetings. We had a whole series of meetings around Perestroika in the mid-late 80s. And in 92, Salman Rushdie, who you all know, surfaced in the Louisiana Museum down here at the Girls' House for the first time after being hidden away because of the fatwa. So there is actually a long history of dealing with critique, dealing with intervention. You can see it in the present show downstairs, for example, the Kangaroo and the Anthropocene Museum. You could see it last year with the Forensic Architecture. So I feel very much proud to be able to include Pussy Riot in this kind of attitude of the museum. If you follow our daily program, you also know the Louisiana Live and the Louisiana Channel. It's also institutional efforts that try to reach people outside the institution. Two words before I give the word to Tina. We decided already in November last year that we wanted to do this. Tina showed Ragnar Kjartansson standing there with Ingebjørg, had a FaceTime call with Tina, holding up the phone and say, look at this. It was at that time in Klingenbang in Reykjavik, opening the day after the conversation. I saw 10 photocopies and we had a meeting, and after 5 minutes we said, yes, we're going to do this. So we went to Iceland in January, a very unpleasant trip because of the weather. I can't believe why people live there. But And it was so overwhelming that from that point on, there hasn't been any kind of doubt that this would be really, really fantastic. And then Masha arrived, and it was very easy, seen from my point of view. You just did the show, and now it's here. We did a catalogue in 20 minutes. Huge effort also. It sold in the shop for the cost price of the production, because we want to spread it to most people as we can. What did I forget? Nothing.
The floor is yours. Hello, good morning. Thanks for coming. I just want to go back a little bit again to how this show even came about. The other day, the Danish radio, P1, asked me if it should take a war to bring Pussy Riot to Louisiana. And the answer is no, and the answer is yes. This exhibition was created in Reykjavik by Masha in collaboration with Ingeborg Sigurdsdottir and Ragnar Kjartansson for the artist-run exhibition venue Klingenbang. The exhibition was, the work with the exhibition started before Russia invaded Ukraine, but the exhibition did see light of day because several of the members of the Pussy Riot were temporarily in Iceland. So this is why it does not take a war to bring Pussy Riot to Louisiana. Paul Erik just mentioned there is a tradition. If we look at the exhibition program, we also have a tradition for showing performance art. And in a funny way, Pussy Riot, seen through an artistic lens, is somewhere between the hardcoreness of Marina Abramovic and the colorful punk and humor of a Pippi Lotterist. That's my own closest field of reference, of course. I need to thank, and this is not normal in a press conference, but I do need to thank Klingenbang, Ragnar, Ingeborg for this most wonderful collaboration. In the show you will find drawings here and there by Ragnar. Ragnar Kjartansson, whose show you can see in the South Wing, he has been here for a couple of weeks working as the assistant of Pussy Riot. And Pussy Riot asked Ragnar to make several drawings, which he happily did. The exhibition aesthetics is important for me to mention because it is very strong. I know that the planning of the exhibition started from rock bottom. Ragnar Ingeborg speaking to Masha saying, could one make a show? And Masha then spent a very intense month collecting image material from friends, from fellow Pussy Riot members all over the world. And together they found an extremely clear and strong exhibition aesthetics. And this is not easily done. I mean, it's work and it's clever thinking. And at the Louisiana, we have just had huge pleasure also being the assistant of Pussy Riot, because basically every image is placed by Masha, and all the texts with the tape letters are written by members of the Pussy Riot. So it has been a huge collective effort. And now I would need Masha. Thank you. And working with Masha is really easy because activists make very fast decisions. So it has been a pleasure. But Masha, before we invite people for a tour in the show, would you introduce the show briefly? What is this?
Hi everyone. I really happy that you all came. I have no idea how to do an introduction. I think you briefly seen an exhibition and you have your first impression, and I would love to do a tour around. I'm not the best person for, you know, describing what we were doing and what we are doing, so it's you decide how to describe it. But if you have some questions, I will answer them now. So please do.
May I add a little framework? The framework for the exhibition is a chronological presentation of Pussy Riot actions since 2011 and until today. So you see a lot of different actions. They are all collected and presented by Masha. So of course the exhibition is about Pussy Riot. It's also about 10 years of Russian history. And in the show you also see from the first action till the last moment of the exhibition, how it has been increasingly difficult and dangerous to speak against the regime. On a broader scale, the exhibition is about much more than Russia. It's about how fast things can change, how quickly authoritarian regimes can turn
to a nightmare. Yeah, so I've tried to collect our actions against Putin and his endless presidency, but also there are walls with a context of what was going on, and through the context you can see how, as Tina said, how things were changing during these years. Because when we started in 2011, just after Putin announced that he's going to be a president for the third time, so there were massive protests around Russia, around 100,000 people only Moscow, and Pussy Riot was a part of this huge protest. And then, I don't think it will be a surprise, but he became a president for the third time. And that moment, for my opinion, became of, let's say, point of no return, because in 2 years he annexed Crimea and started a war with Ukraine, against Ukraine. In 2015 he killed Boris Nemtsov, the main opposition leader who was the loudest voice against this war. And then massive repressions were just going and going, so much more people been in prison during this last 10 years. They received much bigger terms than us, because we just spent 2 years, and after us people went to prison, let's say, from 3-4 years until 20 for their position. And they started to torture people, they started to, again, kill, poison people. And we've tried to collect through examples which are connected with our lives, the life of people in Russia who were and are in the opposition to this regime. You're so shy. You're all silent. So many people and no questions. Yeah, I see one.
How much support do you feel you have among the population?
In Russia?
Yes.
So now, since 2022, we have war censorship. I have no idea how many things you know about that, but in addition to the really bad situation with repressions in the country, they added several new laws which ban people to even pronounce the word war. So now officially by the law, and we have several cases like that, they can imprison you up to 8 years for calling the war, not especially military operation. So the system works in the way that they take several people, imprison them, make these cases really loud, and through that they force people to be afraid. So regarding the support, we have support, but it's not super visible. And I think it will be incorrect to say that this is a support on us. This is a general position against Vladimir Putin and against this invasion. There are a lot of people like that, but not all of them will pronounce it loudly, because the price for this pronunciation is 8 years minimum. But when we published Mamad on Torch TV, the first anti-war video, I think that was in December last year, and I read a lot of comments in YouTube, in Russian, and surprisingly in Ukrainian, and people were saying so warm words. So this 2 days of publications were probably best days of the year. I was really happy.
Thank you.
That's another great moment.
I want to. I don't know so much about you, but I would like to ask. I'm concerning you as person. Is there any particular problems for you to be here and to say what you say? Are there any awareness in Russia that you are here? How are you feeling about being here?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I do not reflect about that. I mean, there are so many things to do besides reflecting of what Russian state is thinking about me.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What is usually difficult to explain to people in the Western world when, I mean, a lot of people come and watch the concerts and so on, and I mean, you're quite popular. But is there something that is very difficult for people in the Western world to understand about Pussy Riot and about Russia?
Well, sometimes it's hard to give a feeling of constant massive oppression, because that's how people in the opposition in Russia were living all these years. So this is a different world regarding censorship, regarding self-censorship, regarding constant permanent surveillance, which we have. And in the exhibition, we've tried to give a small feeling of that. I don't know, you will see and you will say that, is it, did we something for give this feeling or not? And you know, the question about memory also, people have very short memory. They do not remember what happened like 8 years, 7 years ago, what was the chain to the point where we came, how it happened, and some problems with repeating mistakes also exist. Like the recent event of G20 and the resolution, which, you know, became public, was really going to the direction of the discourse of 2014. There were even no words that Russia is guilty for this invasion. How possible, after a year and a half of the war, the West starts to give up? You know, this system, this, and all this system of repression in this continent. So this system knows how to wait and continue repress and invade, you know? It's no time to give up, and it's, that was really hard to read this resolution for me. Yeah.
Yeah, in the beginning of the exhibition it says that everyone... Yeah, sorry. In the beginning of the exhibition, it says that everyone can be Pussy Riot, and I'm sure that a lot of people in Denmark will go to the museum and buy the poster and be like proud of being part of it, but in the real world they don't really risk
anything.
In
the real world they can just take a hat, make holes, make balaclava and do their own protest regarding the issues, political issues which they care. And that's actually our goal, to show that it's possible for everyone.
But do you think that everyone will do it? Or like, how do you feel about that you risk so much and here, like, we are part of the fight, but not, like, we don't risk anything?
And what? I mean, yes, we were born in different conditions. It's like that. The world exists like this. I don't think that I can... Yes, we were born in different conditions, but this is not a reason not to riot and not care.
Hi, Marcia. Welcome, oh. Welcome to Denmark. My name is Eric. I hear you, and I also heard Paul Erik in his introduction to this exhibition. But is it black and you have a lot of color? But I would like to ask you, do you see this political exhibition as an attack on Russia and therefore a defense for Ukraine? Because we are actually a lot of people who also see it the other way around.
Yep.
So don't lose it.
One second.
What other way? Explain more.
Yeah, I can everybody and most people in Denmark, especially the politicians and also we in the media, see it as a black and white confrontation. The Russians are the bad guys and the Ukraine people are the good guys. I think there's a little bit of the good guys in Russia, because it's a long story, but do you see it, this exhibition, as a clear attack on Russia?
Exhibition is attack on Russia?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think so.
Okay.
Putin state invaded Ukraine. This is black and white. Fortunately, unfortunately, this is reality. This is invasion. One country, the biggest country in Europe, attacked small country because the dictator of big country could not forgive in the state of like independency of the small country. This is very black and white. So,
okay.
For me, it's like this. And the exhibition is showing how people in Russia, including ourselves, were fighting against this state to try to stop the direction of where this regime is going. And aware people in the West that this regime is dangerous and not going to stop. And this is not only a question of Ukraine, this is a question of danger to the whole Europe. And this is what exhibition about. Yeah. And majority of the collective are Russians. That's where we were born.
Question?
Yeah, hi. This exhibition looks over the last 10 years. You have sacrificed so much, and the increase in Russia has definitely decreased. So do you think you have achieved anything at this point?
We made a situation more visible than it was. So Pat Prayer, the action which became most popular and the action for what we've been present, made visible a collaboration of so-called church and Putin state. It became much more understandable that the Patriarch Kirill is just a propaganda guy wearing other clothes and KGB agent, by the way. So the discussion started, and I received a lot of letters in my penal colony from people who were writing that they started to think, what is this church about, and understood much more the system. Yes, the price is like this, but I think this is, I mean, fair price for people to understand some things, and without, you know, without trying, without making things more visible, the society will not move forward, because this, you cannot understand something just living in the room with soft walls. Thank you.
next step is that we will join Matthias and Tina in the exhibition, and the way going there will be through the park, so that you'll enter the exhibition the very same way as when you arrive. The publication which Tina hosts there is part of the press kit which is left at the group entrance where you will exit the museum. So please have one when you leave. You will be back here later for lunch. It's available from around 11:30. After Tina and Masha has been walking through the exhibition, because we are honored by more guests from Pussy Riot, then there will be an opportunity to have photos of them together in the exhibition. And Ingeborg and Wagner are here to help gather them for this. And they are also here for questions regarding the exhibition. Those who would like a comment from Paul Yeh, because he's on a tight schedule, could stay here and have a short comment and then join for Tina and Masha in the exhibition. Okay, thank you. And please join Tina and Masha for the East Wing.
Super good. So, yeah, pictures with my open mouth will be great, but I highly recommend this structure. You first listen, then take photos. Otherwise, I will be just with open mouth and it will be, I mean, at some point cool, but at some point. Let's go.
Lucy, Olga,
oh,
Diana.
Yes.
Diana?
Yes.
Сюда, давай сюда, здесь сюда.
Классические. Морозные.
So we start. Everything starts with Tasso. Tasso is our super new member. They are non-binary person. They joined Pussy Riot last year, performed with us in the concert Riot Days based on my book. And they suddenly decide to add this piece to the concert. And we loved it so much. So they recorded it separately with Ragnar in Iceland. You see, they are peeing and pooping. I think you got the sense. We can go. So this is... Shit. Okay. This is first room. This 2011, when Pussy Riot started, there are three actions. Which they made before the presidential elections, and that's how I knew and joined them. This one was made in the front of special detention center where people who were protesting against Putin presidency being imprisoned. So first action of Pussy Riot, which I joined, was this one in the Red Square with the song Putin Pissed His Pants. There are some pieces of text which you can read, and this describes the situation in the winter of 2011. Where people were protesting after his announcement that he's going to be president. So there are also some graffiti which I made, and drawings of balaclavas made by Ragnar. They're all different. So Lovely Miesta in the Red Square, this stone thing is an old place for announcements from Middle Ages in Russia. So I think that was the moment when we made our announcement. So we can move. There is one there which you probably know. That will be hard, okay. That was a week before the elections, and they used the church for promotion of Vladimir Putin. Patriarch Kirill himself said that Putin is a miracle of God for Russia, so we decided to go to this church and protest against that. We didn't expect any criminal case against us, but they opened it on the article of hooliganism motivated by religious hatred. And then they imprisoned us, and that there is a trial which you probably all seen somewhere in the news, and this one is our action surrounded by quotes of different Russian authorities which is pretty funny quotes, and the title of the exhibition went from this one. This is a fucking asshole of Russian Orthodox Church. He is responsible for censorship in culture and censorship in the internet. Google him. So the title of the exhibition is from his quote. And there are much more like funny things. For example, the lawyer of victims, and victims were majority of them were from private security from the church. It were seven guards whose feelings, religious feelings, were hurted. That's why we spent 2 years. Very important thing to understand a little bit about Russian prison system. Russian prison system is a copy of Soviet Union prison system. So we don't have prisons for spending sentences. We have penal colonies. So penal colonies are the labor camps. It's a Gulag legacy. People live in barracks. So this is one barrack from the inside. These are the barracks from outside. After we got the sentence, we've been sent to different penal colonies. Through the barrack you can see where.
We were not together.
Not together. It's illegal by the law. If you are under one criminal case, you cannot spend the term together in one penal colony. So this one is in Ural Mountains, in the town of Berezniki. So I was first person from Moscow who was transported there. And as I said before, people live in the barracks. So around, let's say, 80-100 women live in the one room, having these three toilets without walls. And by the law, by Russian law, all the prisoners should work. It's around 10-12 hours per day of showing police uniform and uniform for Russian army. And they pay 3 euros per month. So it's legal slavery which exists around Russia. That concept was created in Soviet Union and it's still alive. And for both of us, me and Nadia, that was the first time when we've seen a gulag. So we start to fight for prisoners' rights, because that was very just human desire to make some justice in this place out of justice. And that's how I ended up in this single cell where I spent 5 months. Because I just went to Human Rights Commission and asked more warm clothes for the heads of women. Because it's minus 35 degrees there, and it's impossible to stand on plots for 40 minutes without normal thing. So my problems began, and then we started to fight with them in legal field, in the court, together with our friends. We went to the court against the prison administration. So these are my amazing team, and this prison guards. And the court, which usually takes around 4 hours, were for 2 weeks, 8 hours each day. And we won 3 cases out of 4, and it became, you know, some changes started in this colony. So, and they asked the permission to transport me to another place, to Nizhny Novgorod, here. And and some story about my release. We've been released in December, in the end of December of 2013. They wrote a special VIP amnesty for us, which cuts 2 months from our original prison term. And we went directly to the Sochi Olympic Games, and we decided to go there and made an action. So this is very important wall. So if you will have time, just explore this orange amazing wall. We call it a point of no return, because just after these Olympic Games, they annexed Crimea. And that's how this whole situation where we all now exist started. It started with this point of Sochi Olympics. And that was the first time when we received a lot of physical violence. We didn't realize that it will happen more and more, and it started, you know, to happen constantly against not only us, but a lot of oppositioners. This is, for example, first attack after Sochi. That's just attack for nothing. We just came to my penal colony to, you know, to give some groceries for my friends from penal colony who continue to stay there, and we've been attacked by these people. Yeah. So I think this one is also important, because when we started our protest, we did not receive any physical violence. And through these, because they attack with this green liquid, which is extra chemical, and they will push this liquid directly to the eyes. So one of our members lost vision for one eye afterwards, and that was something which we haven't seen before. And the whole attack was organized by political police. That was announced of this attack on Twitter of the head of political police of Nizhny Novgorod. And there were no case afterwards, nobody being persecuted for that. So one person lost the vision, my hand was like, They thrown a metal thing to my head, so I had blood, and they cut at my head afterwards. This is the first big criminal case against the people who were protesting Vladimir Putin on the day of inauguration in 2012. They received three, 4 years in prison for participating in peaceful demonstration. And through these photos you can see how many people, for example this photo, how many people were in the front of the court supporting them. And you can see people from Russian opposition who were all this time supporting political prisoners. Alexei Navalny, whom you know for sure, who is in prison, Ilya Yashin, who received 8 years for his report about Bucha in YouTube, Boris Nemtsov, who was killed in the front of Kremlin walls for his anti-war position. And yeah, so they annex Crimea and they start, you know, to call us enemies of the state and agents of the West. This is just small example of banners which they put to the center of Simferopol, the capital of Crimea, with, you know, this like warning agents of the West. Here, this is the end of 2014. So people been imprisoned already. Some laws were written against the people, and they imprisoned brother of Alexei Navalny, Oleg, just for being a brother of main oppositioner of the country. So we stayed inside this wall for the whole night. It was like minus 25. You see our water in 5 minutes becoming an ice. It's just, you know, one moment which really describes the end of 2014. So this situation became regular. Let's go. So about the structure, we have a title of the action in the front, in the top with tape. We have an action itself in the wall, and by the yellow arrow you can follow the reactions of the state. So they are all different, and sometimes they are growing. This is an action. If you will turn the camera to 180 degrees, you will see. Happy birthday, executioners. We made in 2017, and this is the main, the second main building of Lubyanka Place. So there is a chain of main secret service in Russia from Cheka, which they made just after Red Revolution, after Bolsheviks took the power 100 years before, and to FSB, which is doing all the shit now. So inside these buildings, and this is two actions in the front of FSB. This is the main building of FSB, this one. And this is a second building just across the street. We wrote happy birthday executioners because they were proud. They made an official huge gala concert 1937-2017, celebrating the year of Big Terror. So Big Terror 1937 took lives of 5.5 million of people in early Soviet Union. That's a hugest shame of the Soviet Union, who was repressing people for nothing. So again, 5.5 million lives were taken for nothing. And they were celebrating that in Kremlin, and the chorus of monastery were singing in the front of FSB officers, glorying their work. And we came there with this happy birthday executioners thing. As a postcard. Put it there. So I received, let's say, 40 hours of community service, which sounds like nothing, but became kind of a problem because I received then travel ban, and I was not allowed to leave the country after these two actions, so I had to find ways how to go out, how to go back. They were just, you know, for half of the year following me, knocking the door 8 a.m. every day. This was also in front of Lubyanka with paper planes. We were throwing paper planes when they wanted all the data of all the messengers, especially Telegram, open to them. So they wanted to read all our messages, which is against the 23rd article of the Constitution.
So we went there with paper plates. Colorful paper plates. So 100 hours of community service. And this community service thing, I had to wash these stairs. 140 hours, not more than 4 hours per day, so it was prolonged. That was interesting because I met a lot of migrants and I knew a lot about how people who come into the country to get money live like slaves without all the rights. That was interesting moment of my life. Let's go.
Yeah. 5 minutes left, so...
Okay, super fast! This is a World Cup 2018. Four members of Pussy Riot ran to the field with demands. You can read the demands on the TV. It's majority of them about political prisoners, which we had a lot in the country. That moment, they used police uniform as a costume, and this is a reference to Dmitry Prigov, conceptual poet, which was working in late Soviet Union, perestroika time. After this action, Peter was poisoned with something like Novichok, and transported to the Charité clinic, the same clinic where Navalny was transported after he was poisoned. This is a photo. This is free actions for Ukrainian filmmaker Oleg Sentsov, who was sentenced 20 years in Russian prison, who've been tortured by FSB on different places. So we have 5 minutes left, so let's move. Otherwise, I will not be able to. We will super fast go for this. So we banned massive demonstrations and it became a line, you know, this queue to hold the small poster. This is the middle of 2019. You see how many criminal cases were opened and how people been forced to protest. This is super fucked up. These two actions about political prisoners, you can read their stories here. The most important, for my opinion, is Yuri Dmitriev. He received 15 years of penal colony, and he is historian, and he found a shooting, a polygon where 6,000 people been shot, executed in Soviet Union. He was cleaning the bones, he collected names, and he informed the relatives that your relative has been executed here, and there is a grave, so you can come. He's a historian. This is mostly same people, but with some additions. This is New Year tree in front of Lubyanka. And then here they crossed the constitution. So in 2020 they changed the constitution, giving Putin to be an option to be a president for endless amounts of times. And a lot of other shitty things they done this constitution. So they crushed the constitution. Let's move. But it's fine. Careful, Fragile is about against the police violence, which they used a lot. We dressed our friend artist to the riot police uniform, and you know, you see what we've done. I just don't know English words.
Take him to
fragile, because they are, the police are so fragile to. They will persecute people with the reasons that plastic cups were thrown near them, and they were so scary that the song sounds like a bomb, that they open a criminal case and imprison people for 3 years for that. So this is kind of reference joke. This is rainbow diversion, where we put 5 rainbow flags to the key buildings of Russian Federation. This is Ministry of Culture, Lubyanka. I hope you remember this place. Administration of the President, the most famous Moscow police station, Basmanny, and the Supreme Court. There is a statement, there is a video, and I think we need to go. This is 2021, received second criminal case together with Lucy. So for this Instagram post and tweet, they opened the criminal case and put us to the house arrest. This is nothing dangerous on these tweets. It's just saying that we are going tomorrow to the protest demonstration. That was the day when Navalny came back to Russia. So this amazing room, you see, it's a little bit different from others. All the tapes are in black because it's all about constant imprisonment, different types of imprisonment. House arrest, arrest carousel, where they start to put us to detention center for 15 days. Then we went out, you see in this video. I'm going out and they arrest me again. So we call it arrest carousel because they arrest me again, put to the police station, and then give another 15 days. And here is the timeline how it was for all the members. So this 15 days thing just can be at some point annoying because you don't know when it will start and when it will finish. With usual prison term, you at least know where the end is. And during one 15 days thing, the war started. They start to arrest us for Nazi propaganda. They start to call us Nazis. And then they start to call Nazis the Ukraine. And then the war started, and that's what they made with doors of activists. Well, this is doors of amazing people. This is Rita's door, and for example, this is door of Olga Misik, super young girl whom you've probably seen in newspapers, super small girl with constitution in the protests of 2019. So they are all amazing people, and this is just very super small example of what started. You see probably that it's super different. And to go to the last room is, we should go through prison cell. Originally here, but there was a guard. But here, there are a lot of people, so let's go. Which I mentioned before, with demands. We made it this year. There are subtitles except the demands, and translation of demands is this. So this is our first reflection for the war and a statement against the war. It contains our graffiti, which we made like around 10, 12 during the tours. It contains the footage, which is banned now to publish in Russia, and also it contains one action of feminist anti-war resistance. So, yeah. Well, okay, fine.
Please,
first
of all, come in.
And
then make a room over here.
Okay, Lucy will speak about the costume. Lucy bought the costume.
Yes, I bought this. I bought this costume to escape because we were surrounded by the police, our flat, and we had to sneak through cameras and not be noticed by police. So, yeah. This is Mr. Red. Our rat is already dead. This is Necro. I put Mr. Red here, and me and Mr. Red were gunned through Belarus when we escaped under house arrest, and then I passed the same costume to Masha, and she did it also.
The thing is that she bought it during one of my 15 days term because she needs to be not arrested and, you know, help me. That's very useful if one person is arrested for other to not be arrested. Yeah, super. Okay. And then she left the costume and I used it when, you know, I did the whole thing, and this is a screenshot of Russian federal wanted list. Very funny. It's not translated, but it's very super obvious. It's like wanted for criminal case, woman, Russian, Moscow, no special. Not special. This is bad. Okay.
I think we should give her an applause.
Thank you.
Så vi er kommet til, hvad hedder stedet?
Kedelhallen
på Frederiksberg. Og der er en udstilling af to amatører, jeg forstår, kunstmalere. Og en af dem er din svigermor,
min svigermor.
Og det er første gang, jeg ser det, jeg ved, om du har set noget før, men mig er det før.
Jeg har set
noget
hos hende.
Ja, det mest, jeg kan sige, forholdsvis, det er at se det blomster.
Ja.
Og også nogle portrætter, eller hvad det er sådan.
Enkelt
portræt. Ja.
Og det er faktisk... Aiden Zoe. Men jeg ved ikke,
ja. Og hvad så nummer 3? Hvad er det for noget? Det er sådan noget lidt mere avanceret.
Noget strakt. Det er et vintertræ.
Vintertræ?
Ja. Ja, det er lidt abstrakt.
Ja. Kan man vel godt og grønne, mest grønne farver, og så er det noget lilla og gule farver og sådan noget. Ja. Det kan vi skal være lidt mere på afstand, hvad, for at kunne se.
Ja.
Det er sådan en blomsterbuket. Det ligner sådan en blomsterbuket, ikke?
Ja. Man kan jo sige, at Else Steenfeldt, som er kunstnerens navn, mest gør det i sådan lidt abstrakt.
Jeg vil ikke sige det op til. Jeg så det her tallene, så det bevæger sig, ikke?
Det gør den.
Hvor er det?
Der kører
den. Ja, det kan...
6-7.
Nå. Så prøver vi ikke igen, men jeg tror, den er op til. Jeg skulle bare være sikker. Okay, så har vi noget.
Så Else Steenfeldt, hun gør det primært i abstrakt. Måske ikke. Hun har faktisk sådan en blanding af abstrakt og noget mere, skal man sige.
Hvorfor siger Steenfeldt?
Fordi det kalder hun sig som hun. Fordi hendes mellemnavn er Steenfeldt.
Hendes kunstnernavn
er Else Steenfeldt.
Det var måske ikke meningen, at jeg skal fortælle det. Det var hemmeligt. Og det er så mere farver, det må jeg se. Det er sådan et højhus med altaner og med og hver lejlighed ser forskelligt ud. Er det taget fra virkelig liv? Hvordan lejlighed ser ud?
Jeg ved ikke,
hvad
sådan
en kunstformer hedder. Men det ved jeg heller ikke. Det kan være, jeg skulle spørge Else om det. Og altså den her blomster, var altså det også...
Altså lidt collage.
Ja, det er
sådan
en
collage.
Ja. Det er lidt specielt. Ja, så var det... Ligesom en gang større med forskellige ting. Ja, det var det der inspirerede af Sydlova på ferie, så det er derfor, jeg vil lære at høre, hvad du inspirerede det. Hun vil ikke snakke. Nej, vi vil gerne spørge dig om nogle ting. Vi er meget intrigeret i... Altså først så har jeg blevet helt forbavset, fordi så har jeg kaldt det for noget andet, end jeg kender dig. Dit navn. Så tænkte jeg, det kan ikke være dig.
Du har din... Else Steenfeldt,
kalder jeg mig. Det vidste jeg jo ikke.
Det
er kunstnernavn. Det er kunstnernavn, kaldt jeg. Ja. Når vi har tænkt på inspiration, er det sådan, du, fordi du har været ude at rejse sydpå, eller hvor det var henne?
Nej.
Så. Nå, men jeg tror, du har selv det, at der måske ikke sådan noget.
Men hvad hedder den form for kunst? Det er abstrakt.
Jo, men den her, det er ligesom højhus, hvor man siger, der er forskellige lejligheder, sådan det ser ud. Ja. Nå, men det, jeg tænker på, at du måske blev inspireret, når du var ude. Fordi mange steder er ude sydpå, der er åbnet vinduet, og man kan kigge ind i lejligheden og se, hvordan det ser ud. Det er mere det.
Men det er sådan nogle tanker, dem der sorterer på det for.
Ja, ja, ja.
Helt andet, når jeg står
med. Men derfor jeg kunne høre, hvordan
ja, ja.
Hvad din idé var.
Ja.
Ja. Og så
hvad der. Hedder det sådan, at det er sådan, at man... Altså, det er jo ikke abstrakt.
Nej. Med de to. Hvad er den type kunst?
Naiv. Det er helt naiv, ikke?
Ja. Men altså, jeg vil sige flotte farver der. Jeg kan godt lide farverne. Det må jeg sige.
Ja,
Synes jeg er flot.
Friske farver.
Ja, frisk. Ja.
Hvorfor svært ikke sådan noget op? Men så må vi... Så tænker jeg, nej, det passer ikke sammen med det andet.
Så må vi lige høre lidt mere om dig. Hvor længe har du malet? Nej, det er det hele tiden. Hvor længe? Hvordan fik du interesse
til sådan noget? Hvor længe jeg har malet?
Ja.
2008.
Nå, så det var ikke, fordi du var helt ung, og så...
Nej,
det var ikke sådan. Nå, det var det, fordi mange af det... Fordi jeg var helt unge, så malede vi, og var vi altså sådan... Så blev det til scene til mere. Nå, det startede lidt sent.
Ja. Så synes jeg, det er hyggeligt, at få male, og går også til
kursus. Kursus, det underviser vi her.
Ja, også godt.
Og så det her, det skulle jeg ikke til højskole.
Ja, det er nogle gange, jeg har været på højskole.
Ja.
Det kan godt ændre sig.
Nå, det er flot, det må jeg sige, altså jeg vil sige, det er for vi har, jeg vidste ikke, at jeg skulle forvente, men altså i hvert fald, jeg tænkte også ikke det her, det er ret
lidt. Ja. Jeg har mange derhjemme også.
Så vi kan lave flere udstillinger. Vi kan lave flere udstillinger.
Det må også være meget sjovt at se udviklingen fra, altså du har en masse gamle billeder og se, hvad der så, hvordan stilen må have udviklet sig.
Ja, men jeg har ikke specielt stil,
faktisk. Du maler noget forskelligt.
Ja, men altså jeg kan godt se de her, de er lidt forbundet med hinanden. Og så har jeg med Aydin, som jeg er så glad for. Aydin Soei.
Jeg ved, det ligner sådan.
Han er sociolog.
Nå, jeg ligner en af de her fra Iran.
Det gør han ikke også?
Ja.
Jamen han er. Jeg ved ikke, hvor han er fra. Kendt
hende?
Ja. Aydin Soei hedder han. Han er sociolog. Han er meget tit på, har været i fjernsynet.
Nå jo, det er derfor, jeg synes, måske det er.
Ja.
Han udtalte sig om sådan nogle ting.
Det er mange år siden, jeg lavede det billede der. Jeg havde det med ud til et foredrag, og viste jeg ham det der billede, jeg lavede af ham. Jeg troede, han ville have haft det, men det ville han ikke. Men jeg er så glad for det selv. Jeg synes, det er sådan en dejlig billede. Så. Det gør ikke noget.
Hvis ikke det bliver solgt, så tager du med hjem og hænger det op igen.
Ja, ja. Jeg kommer til at hænge sammen med Anker Jørgensen og Kim Larsen. The Wall of Fame. Ja.
Hvad er det for et sted for? Nu vil jeg have sådan, det hedder kedel. Hvorfor?
Gammel oplagring af affald og sådan noget, som blev brændt og brugt til fjernvarme.
Det er en flot skorsten, sådan er det.
Ja.
Det smager, de bruger sådan noget fornuftigt.
Det er så godt.
Ja.
Ja. Og så om sommeren, så kan man åbne døren derude, og folk sidder her udenfor og sådan noget. Det er rigtig fint. Der var mange, da jeg var her første gang, jeg var her.
Er det kultur? Er det Norsk Kommune? Eller hvem er det, der
er? Det er Frederiksberg.
Det er kommune, der står for det. Det er dejligt, de åbner jer, for det var også nogle biblioteker. Jeg kan huske, at vi var til nogle udstillinger. Og der bibliotekerne har lagt sted til det. Og så var der også nogle underholdninger, og så var det sådan til.
Jamen, I må godt synge, hvis det er.
Ja, det skulle jeg vise på forhånd. Så
du har haft singer til?
Nå ja, selvfølgelig. Du spille.
Så kunne jeg
klavere.
Med
vi har faktisk lige slukket for musikken, fordi vi synes, det var træls at høre på. Det var jo en gammel danstoppen. Ja, det er nemlig rigtigt.
Næste gang, så kommer vi hele bandet.
Ja, så kommer det, vi er. Så skal jeg lave musik, der passer til.
Ja.
Ja, ja, det tager nok ikke ret langt.
Ja, har du andre talenter, som vi ikke kender til, eller jeg kender ikke til?
Det ved jeg da ikke, om jeg har.
Hvad dyrker du med andre ting end maleri?
Ikke andet end at gå til træning, kropstræning, 3 gange om ugen,
time. Ja.
Og til det, jeg lige vil sige, Jehovas vidner, men det hedder det ikke, det er fordi... fra Herodes til Pilatus. Jeg hedder Pilatus, hedder det, jeg går til.
Nå, Pilatus.
Jeg er altid nødt til at gå den vej der, for at huske, det hedder Pilatus, jeg synes. Ja, Pilatus.
Jeg er på gymnastik her.
Ja, jeg dyrker gymnastik i øjeblikket. Jeg kan godt mærke det. Godt mærke, at der er kommet tryk på. Hvad med dig? Skal du, skal du også træne?
Det skal jeg snakke om mig.
Nå.
Nu står jeg her med Allin Christiansen, som er også en kunstmaler. Jeg forstår, amatør, eller du er?
Ja,
amatør. Men altså, jeg synes, det her kan sige, det er flot i så lidt mørke farver. Og det er sådan inspireret af Grækland, kan det være?
Nok mere
Tyrkiet
og Marokko. Det var det, som har deres
huse. Ja, netop, ja, det kan jeg sige.
Jeg har været i et af husene, og jeg blev så forbavset over, hvor dejligt det var at være derinde.
Ja.
De er så gode til at lave sådan en luftgymnastik
og alt
muligt.
Ja, ja.
Så der blev jeg rigtig imponeret af de der bjergbord.
Ja, det kan man se faktisk med det samme. Og hvorfor så mørke farver det? Fordi...
Ja, det er fordi, man eksperimenterer lidt.
Ja.
Lige i den... periode der, der var jeg meget
mørk i dag. Nå, okay, fordi jeg kan huske, at folk ikke er meget lyst. Det hele er meget lyst. Det er måske Tyrkiet andre lyst, det kan det.
Ja,
men
det
er
det.
Men det er okay.
Jeg arbejder meget med mørk.
Ja, det er
okay. Og meget mørk kan man lægge ind. Og stadigvæk få en fornemmelse.
Ja.
Hvor lyset er, ikke?
Ja. Men du kan ikke sige mennesker, så du har ikke ligesom fanget mennesker.
Nej, ikke.
Ikke på dem her.
Slet ikke. Men der...
Hvor vil du sige det her?
Streaming change, så de har lagt ind. Det bliver nok et
forhandlet. Det er
så
et
nordisk snak. Ja, ja, det kan man sige.
Så det er Odin, der ligesom er derovre.
Ja.
Og så er det sådan forskellige nordiske typer. Nordiske farver, sådan lidt, som om de havde skåret.
Ja, det kan jeg sige, ja.
Ja, og så er
det
jo
ikke
meget lys.
Ja. Og så har vi en anden, det var mere lys. Det er så indvendigt et hus, eller en opgang.
Det er faktisk konstruktion.
Konstruktion, okay.
Og så for at gøre det, sådan at det ikke er arkitekturisk konstrueret, så er den bjælke, der går ned der, fuldstændig skør i forhold til alt det andet, der kører rent højt, ikke? Så du skal ligesom stoppe op og sige, det der er en fejl, det der. Nej, det er det ikke. Det er bare...
Det er din fantasi.
Ja, det er udenfor.
Ja, ja.
Den måde, du konstruerer på.
Ja, ja. Og den her er så meget speciel, hvor der er sådan... Godt nok mørk, men det blomster.
Ja.
ude.
Det hedder Flora.
Det hedder Flora, okay. Ja, det kan
så
jeg se.
Så det er røde blomster, ja, der kommer op derfra. Og nu kan man ikke se det ret meget, for det er lys der. Men det er faktisk blå blomster, der kommer ned oppefra.
Nå.
Så det er simpelthen...
Okay. Ja, fordi det er ikke, at du har lige specielt naivt, det er mere det er sådan både og du blander lidt det naive og det her eksperimenterede.
Ja, det er sådan lige en poppe.
Ja, ja. Ja, og den her er det endnu mørkere. Er det sådan nat? Nat er sådan huset, der er under det siden. Ja. Jamen, jeg synes, det er flot, og det er store malerier, faktisk. Er det ikke svært?
Det er store malerier. Jo, det er det. Det er udfordringen. Mm-hmm. Hvis man lang tid har malet den størrelse, og så
det er det. Ja. Og så startede man med en lille, og så udvidede man. Hvordan gør man sådan noget?
Ja, men...
Eller lavede du sådan på forhånd, hvad du forstår, det skal være?
Nej, det kan jeg ikke skrive sådan noget. Og jeg maler heller aldrig efter fotografier. Altså, nej tak. Det er noget, der sker, mens jeg gør det.
Okay. Og så har du noget kigget på, og så... Nå, det er jo stadigvæk, at du har set. Ja. Der er noget, du har set et eller andet, du bliver inspireret. Heller ikke.
Jeg har ikke været der.
Nå, det er okay. Det kunne jo være, du har været
der. Jeg har godt tænkt mig at gå en tur der, men ja. Jeg har ikke været der før.
Nej, nej. Nu har du mål at gå efter det her, det synes jeg, skal jeg sige.
Ja, ja, så går jeg. Jeg må finde et sted, ja.
Nå, men det er flot, jeg vil sige. Det er jeg faktisk imponeret over, fordi det er flot. Så tillykke, tillykke. Det er
jo
ja, det er andre farver, ja, det kan jeg sige.
Det er faktisk det samme, så de to første.
Ja, ja.
Jeg har mere farver på, ja.
Ja.
Men det er også en forhold, hvad der er bjerg og hvad der er by.
Ja. Ah, der kan man godt sige, at det er mørke, det bliver hjemme ved bjerg, hva'?
Ja, det
og du kigger ned. Ja, så kigger ned på. Og så er der noget vand. Er der noget vand?
Der er noget vand, og er det
ja, netop. Ja, netop. Kan man tage det på, så kan man sige, hvad der siger.
Man kan godt se, at det er svært, ikke?
Ja.
Og det er meningen.
Ja, ja, det er meningen. Så vi siger, at vi som tilskuere skal vi ligesom selv bruge vores fantasi.
I bestemmer sig.
Ja. Ja. Jamen, tillykke med det. Det var flot. Nå, men nu sidder jeg her med en af gæsterne til denne her udstilling på... Hvad hedder den her? Kedelhallen. Kedelhallen på Frederiksberg. Og det er Hanne Nielsen, som er ven, eller hvad skal vi sige, nabo til Alice. Og derfor vi kender lidt hinanden, vi har mødt hinanden før. Men sådan udstilling, det er første gang, jeg har været til udstilling. Jeg ved, om du har set Alice's malerier før. Du har set noget.
Ja,
jeg har set noget. Nå, men så... Ja.
Jeg har også set den ved en anden udstilling, og jeg har også set den derhjemme i en stue.
Ja.
Og noget af det, der er sjovt ved at se den her, er, at det bliver meget tydeligt, at det er Elses stil, altså.
Ja.
Fordi der er to nogle stiller, ikke?
Ja.
Der er meget stor forskel på deres måde at male på. Fordi ellers, så, når jeg kigger på Elses billeder, så er det ligesom sådan lidt i kategorier, ikke? Der er ikke nogen af dem, der...
Abstrakt og sådan noget.
Ja. Og nogen, hvor man kan sige, altså hun har den der, altså man kaldte bakkehus, det der lige bagved dig her, som er jo en abstraktion over det hus. Og samtidig er der noget naturlige former bag det. Ikke? Og det billede, synes jeg, er meget i familie med. I hvert fald to andre, som har lidt, nu fik jeg lige øje på en fjerde, ikke? Har de der lidt kantede former. Men hvis man så sammenligner med alt det andet, hun har lavet, så er det en helt anden stil.
Nå. Jeg forstår, at hun har mange flade hjemme,
ja,
ja, som jeg har ikke set. Ja. Det er interessant, fordi sådan som højhus, eller for mig at se det som højhus, og jeg har selv boet sådan, ikke så stor højhus, men alligevel, alle er ens, men indrettet så meget forskelligt. Så jeg siger, hvordan kan folk finde på at lave så meget forskelligt i den samme, hvad skal jeg sige, rum med mængde. For det er præcis det samme. Det var, hvor jeg boede i Højglasaksa for eksempel. Det var vores forskellige. Det var utroligt, kom med forskellige lejre. Jeg kom til en gang imellem, kom til naboerne. Du siger, hvor forskellige folk kan finde ud og indrette sig. Og derfor har hun ligesom vist på sin maleri, noget den, som man kan se, at det er forskelligt. Så det er rigtig det interessante, at man har fantasi, fordi nu har jeg snakket med hende, Elin, som har med de andre ting. Og jeg siger, har du haft inspiration? De fleste af dem, det er bare noget fantasi. Jeg var sikker på, at hun har været sød på, og har set nogle, for det ligner sådan noget fra Grækland, når hun siger det Tyrkiet, men det, for mig kunne sige, det var sådan noget inde i bjergene, der, hvor de har sin små lejder. Men det er faktisk noget, som det meste af det er fantasi.
Nå, no, det
vidste
jeg ikke. Jeg troede ligesom
dig,
at hun
havde haft det. Ja, det tror jeg. Ja. Og så er specielt den her derovre. Det var lidt imponeret over, fordi det er ligesom et bjerg, og så kigger man ned på en dal og så der. Men det er ren fantasi. Så.
Det ligner, eller det minder mig om en solnedgang på Island, hvor landskabet er meget
klippet. Ja, ja. Så og det er det, man siger, at det ligesom giver til beskuer og bruger sin fantasi, hvad man selv finder på, hvad der kan være i den her. Og det synes jeg også er erfaring med nogle andre kunstnere. Jeg har set nogle udstillinger, en specielt en kunstner, som jeg kender personligt fra Polen. Og så, da min kone og mig, vi var så lidt malerede, så siger min kone til mig en gang, hvad mente du? Mente du det og det? Nej, overhovedet ikke. Det er noget helt andet. Vi, når vi siger beskuer det her, at vi finder på, og det er smart på den måde, at man selv...
På den måde er billedet
særligt, ikke? Det behøver ikke være lige præcis det, som udtrykker det.
Ja. Jeg synes, billederne hænger fantastisk godt her.
Ja, det er også fint, så lys der. Lys, der står her. Ja. Men hvad så, har du dyrket du også noget hobby, sådan en slags der?
Altså, jeg har malet mursvægge for mange år siden, så det gør jeg ikke mere.
Og lagt det på hylden?
Ja. Man kan jo altid tage det ud igen. Ja.
Hvad så, andre ting? Sport? Musik?
Sport?
Svømning? Ja. Selvom det kan også være farligt, cyklen. Jeg har lige haft uheld med min cykel. Ja, det er ikke til radio. Okay. Men ellers, har du noget set så?
Altså, jeg tror, jeg har fået...
Du har sagt det, men det er fint,
ja. Altså, ja, jeg glæder mig til, at hun vil
sige. Ja, vi kommer, ja, forhåbentlig, så hvis hun gider invitere os igen.